Bless you.
It was a burp. Is that how you want to handle my burps?
Yes. With
a bless you?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello there.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of Two Sisters Present
America's Sweethearts. Nailed it.
Where we are covering Julia Roberts.
We cover women in film by genre according to their catalog. Right now we're focusing on Julia Roberts, and this is our fifth episode and final episode for Julia Roberts for now. We've covered Erin Brockovich, Hook, Pretty Woman, and Sleeping with the Enemy. And today we're talking about Stepmom.
Stepmom. So the fifth video of each actress that we do will be a listener's choice. And this listener this week was our friend Haley, who picked Stepmom for us, because we don't really have a lot of listeners right now since we haven't actually put up any episodes.
Yeah, we've sent samples of our episodes out to people that we know will like it. Not true. We got really, really good criticism. So
yes, we sent it out to people who we knew would be honest with us and give us advice and also lift us up, because we're fragile beings. So our friend Haley recommended Stepmom. It is my job to cover this movie. And what a movie this is. While I was watching it, I was like, you know, we have a comedy podcast and I've cried about 500,000 times throughout this movie. How are we going to approach this where I just don't wallow in the misery of this movie? Because it is so sad.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't go out of my way to watch sad movies. So if it hadn't been chosen, I probably would not have watched this movie for the rest of my life. But it is a really good movie.
It is really good. The acting is, everybody just does such a beautiful job.
There's some really good dialogue.
There's
in
some
it too.
Really good dialogue. There's some really good one-liners, especially for the daughter. She has some zingers.
Oh, yeah. Harsh.
Harsh. Major teenager. So I tried to do some research for this movie, and it was actually really, really difficult to find stuff about this movie. But one thing I kept coming across was apparently there was a lot of rumors that surrounded this movie about a feud between Susan Sarandon and Julia Roberts, because, you know, their characters are at odds throughout the entire movie. Even at the end, when there's some acceptance and forgiveness there, you still are like, but do they actually hate each other?
Yeah, so do we have a Joan and Betty?
Well, and that's the thing, because Susan Sarandon is in the series Feud, where she plays...
Have you seen it?
I have not yet. I have not.
I haven't either. I really want to
see
it.
I know, I really want to see it. I don't have... Is it on HBO?
No, it's an FX show, and I was reading that I think eventually all the FX shows will be on Hulu.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have Hulu, and I think that it is on Hulu. At least the first season of it is on Hulu. But I don't have that, so I'm just, like, waiting for the day when I can watch it, or, you know, I guess I'll just have to pay for it. But point is, Susan Sarandon is in that show. So in 2017, a lot of things were circulating about the feud between Betty and Joan, and since she was a part of that show, it came back around the feud that she had with Julia Roberts. And she didn't even know where all of these things circulated, and then she found out that it was actually her PR person that started all of the rumors that she and Julia didn't get along.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not even true. They actually produced this movie together, and they, like, searched for movies or scripts that they could take on together, and they chose Stepmom to do because they wanted to work together. And the wow. PR person flipped the script, and I searched and I tried to find what these rumors were about the feud that they had. I can't find anything. All I can find is Susan Sarandon putting the record straight. As far as I know, there wasn't even really rumors. I mean, there had to have been, because there's aftermath of squashing them, but I can't find what the original rumors were.
How funny.
Susan Sarandon said that if you make a movie with a male star, everyone assumes that you're quote-unquote effing him. And if it's a female star, everyone assumes you're fighting. And in an article, Julia Roberts was equally dismissive of the feud and said that, actually, Susan and I were kind of hoping that people would say that we were quote-unquote effing. And I thought that was really funny. And she said, now that would be a delicious cocktail party fodder. But this, boring. So they paid no mind to any of the rumors back then. They were like, well, no, we're friends. But of course, when you have something juicy, that's what people want to listen to. And they were like, it's not juicy. It's stupid. This is boring. We're fine. We're friends. Yeah. Get over it.
But I would ship them.
Ship them?
It's what the young people say. Ideal couple.
Oh, like when you put their names together?
Sort of, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't...
It's just seeing people together and they're just like, oh, I totally ship that.
Okay, yeah, no. I don't know any of this new lingo and I probably won't retain it. But it's good for younger viewers, listeners, whatever we have. What is podcasting? Shipping. Okay, shipping? Is that what it's called?
Shipping. like relationship.
Oh, shipping. Okay.
I ship them.
Okay, I get it now. I thought it was like mail. I'm going to ship them to Mexico.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'd ship Julie Roberts and Susan Sarandon.
What a power couple.
So anyway, I just found that really, really cool that they were just like, no, I'm not going to buy into it. And the fact that it was her own PR person that started it. It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
I guess I don't really know the relationship between performer and PR person.
I don't know, but this PR person seemed to do it all very under the radar. So who knows? I don't know. But it took almost 20 years for it to be addressed. So anyway.
Wild.
I have some information that I will probably be putting out throughout the rest of the podcast.
Great, because that does not cover the 5-point criteria.
No, I know. I have 5 points. I promise. I promise.
I believe in you.
Okay, so Stepmom.
Stepmom.
Was made in 1998. I think it might have been released in 99. So there were actually a few titles that were presented for this movie that were rejected. Do you want to know them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Give them to me.
Okay. Goodnight Moon. Which, I mean, is a children's book.
Goodnight Moon?
Goodnight Moon. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Promises Kept. See You in My Dreams.
No.
And Always, Always. So, see you.
I think that last one is probably the best title.
See You in My Dreams and Always, Always are quotes in the show.
Yes, I remember Always, Always. That's when mom and daughter go on the moonlit snow ride on the horse. Very sweet.
See You in My Dreams is when she is in the hospital bed talking to her son on the phone.
Yes.
So all of those were rejected.
I'll see you in my dreams.
Oh, that was beautiful, Bailey.
Hold you in my dreams. That's just what makes me think of the Ink Spots.
I don't know them, but that was beautiful. But I'm actually glad that all of those were rejected because it very much just focuses on Susan Sarandon's story, if that's what the title is. And Stepmom, I think, even though the word stepmom is a singular for one particular person, that mm-hmm. title encompasses the entire situation.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's funny, though. I like the title. I think it suits it. But I was thinking how I've been noticing a lot of movies lately that with the title and the way it's set up, you think that the movie is going to be about one person, mm-hmm. but then it's about another person. And I feel more so than it is Julia Roberts' story, it's Susan Sarandon's story. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten their character names.
Jackie and Isabel.
Right. It's like there is like this thing that is happening with all of them. Like they're all dealing with a lot of things. And they're working on it as a unit, but I think the stronger storyline going on is the one that happens what did you say her character name was again? Jackie.
Yeah. And actually in England, where when it was premiered there, it was called Stepmom, which I love.
Of course. Stepmom.
Stepmom. But yeah, I was actually talking to a friend about this last night, and she was like, I love that movie. I actually watched it right after my own parents got divorced, and it was really, really hard to watch for that reason. But what I love about it is that it shows all of these people really trying, and no one really gets it right, because no one can get it right.
No.
There's no clear-cut path on how to deal with divorce or sickness or...
There's no handbook.
Yeah, there's no handbook. And everybody is just trying to do their best with the tools that they're provided and doing what's right for, or what they perceive as right for, the bigger scale. And I think this movie does a beautiful job trying to show that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I think that the script does a really good job is including all of the characters and the process that they're going through. One of the really poignant moments for me was when the two kids are sitting with Ed Harris in the park talking about what's going on, and they said, did you fall out of love with mommy? And he is just straightforward, and he says, yes, I did. And the little boy goes, can you fall out of love with us?
Yeah, can you fall out of love with your kids? I know. I think that was the first moment where I nearly lost it.
I'm crying again just thinking about it. You know, that's not something that we have gone through.
No.
But like watching that, I realized that's probably one of the reasons why it becomes so hard for kids, because they take for granted that the relationship between their parents is a given.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to think beyond it, because it's just a state of fact. And then when that's disrupted, you question the ties to everything.
Yeah, I mean, Anna, the daughter, even says, because Ben, the brother, said, well, you know, I fight with Anna all the time. Can I move out? And he's like, no, I mean, your brother and sister. And she says, well, you were husband and wife. Doesn't that mean anything? And to your point, in a child's mind, that is a given, that husband and wife means forever. So I really loved the way that they handled that conversation, because I think a lot of parents would want to retreat from it instead of being mm-hmm. so honest. And he is as honest as he can be and as transparent as he can be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and all the characters have ugly moments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But all of them also have moments where they do something really powerful and positive.
Well, and if we like go back to the very beginning, let's start at the beginning. Why not? Right?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. It's much easier to follow my notes that way.
Yeah. So let's just do that. Towards the beginning, Ed Harris has this monologue when they're both in the school talking about Anna saying that they're getting back together and moving to Switzerland. He has the monologue about, well, how could Jackie not feel uncomfortable when, you know, this woman is raising our kids and she has no experience raising kids? Of course Jackie's going to be irrational and hostile and defensive. She's
I know.
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, because he catches her off guard by being empathetic and understanding of her feelings, and then totally like pulls the rug out.
Yes.
And her reaction is great, because she's like, seems surprised and pleased, and then it's like, ugh.
But what I appreciate about that moment is you think that Ed Harris is going to be a horrible dad. I mean, when he's saying that he would walk through fire for Anna any day, any given day of the week, blah, blah, it seems so forced and so put on and disingenuous.
He's posturing.
Exactly. But then throughout the movie, you realize how loving and how great of a dad he really is. And Susan Sarandon actually confirms that later on when she's like, you are a great dad. I just never gave you the opportunity.
Right.
But that just goes to your point earlier about every character has their ugly moments. And this script just kind of flips the script on everybody, where you're like,
yeah,
oh, they're the villain. And then, no, they're not. They're just a human.
They're just real.
Yeah, they're just a human.
Before that meeting even happened, I want to backtrack just a moment.
Sure.
So when Julia Roberts is running through the house looking for Ben. And she wakes up late and is going from room to room. They're kind of establishing the relationships with the way that the daughter reacts to. Anna is the daughter, right?
Yes, Anna is the daughter.
Yes. So Julia Roberts is running from room to room, room to room, looking for Ben because she's running late and Ben is being a magician somewhere. And she goes into Anna's room and Anna's like, "You lost Ben?" So like, you already know that there's some tension there, but we don't really know what the relationship is yet. And then as she's still looking for Ben, she opens up a cabinet and... We watch a lot of horror movies, but I have to say that is probably the scariest jump scare in the history of cinema. Because you have like this child with this really impish looking face, like smile, you know, splitting his face in half, holding out a jar of peanut butter. And it's like, how did he even fit in that cabinet?
His laugh is... All of the elements are there.
I think he was cast because of his laugh. He laughs so many times.
He is so adorable. I wrote that in my notes. Ben is so cute.
He is so cute. But that was terrifying.
That moment with Anna with the purple shirt. Isabel is a terrible liar. She does not think well on her feet at all.
What did she say?
She says, she was like, "Well, I knew that you needed the purple shirt and I thought about it, but really red and orange are your color, so you're gonna wear this today." It's like, who do you think you're fooling, Miss Ma'am?
All you have to do is apologize.
Yeah, she does it several times throughout this movie where she tries to cover her bases, but she just does it so poorly.
Well, and like, you think about it from her perspective. The thing is, like, you know, with pets, well, just taking care of something, like if it's a child or if it's a pet, that's something you learn how to do. And it's something that you prepare yourself for, usually. And, like, she didn't have a whole lot of time to, like, learn these things. So she's learning and she makes a lot of mistakes. But everyone expects her to just automatically know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's that pressure, although she still should just apologize for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, when Jackie picks up her kids, then you realize, oh, this is a different dynamic. They said, "Mom," like, who is this other lady? Who's the lady that they were staying with? Oh, okay, that must be stepmom. And the way that Jackie handles the situation in the car where Anna's like, "I hate that witch," mm-hmm. or something like that. And she's like, "Ooh, no name calling.
Use your
words. Like, I just hate her. I just hate her." She's like, "Well, that's a word that we can work with." She doesn't actually say, "You should hate her." But then she deflects to, like, "I hate Uranus. That's a stupid name for a planet." And then she goes on to say that she hates the Hokey Pokey because putting your left foot in and your left foot out at weddings is ridiculous. Who dances the Hokey Pokey at a wedding?
I think that it was a big thing back in the day. I remember doing it at some of our family's weddings.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm pretty sure we did. Or maybe it was the conga. I don't know. They're both the same to me. you get in a line, you go in circles. It's the same thing. I know that's not true. No, but... That moment where, yeah, she says basically, "Y'all can hate her," in not so many words, "Y'all can hate her." She does that with all of her actions, too. When she was like, "Oh, she made you lunch," and then she looks in the bags and just throws them away. It's giving them permission to not have any respect for her.
Right, because she doesn't have any respect for her.
Yeah.
And they adore her.
Yeah.
So
the kids are looking for guidance. They're looking for their mother to show them how to act and behave, which, I mean, is a really strong theme in this movie because it's even addressed by Susan Sarandon and Julie Roberts later on when Susan is like, "I don't want my daughter to turn out to be you." It's like, well, they're looking up to you and you're not behaving the way you should be either. So it's just, mm-hmm. it shines the light on everybody. Like you said, it shows everybody's ugliness, everybody's flaws, but it also shows the beautiful moments and shows that they're just real people who are trying their best and have real human emotions. And that does not always lead to the best decision making.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and the thing is that the way that they fail is very relatable.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like nobody can blame Jackie for being angry
no.
and resentful.
No.
And the thing is that you're just going through the motions, like you don't really think about how it's affecting everyone else around you. You're just, you go one step at a time.
Yeah, there's only one moment where I am not backing up Jackie, and we'll get to that.
Oh, yes, I could think of what that moment
is. We will
get
to that. But first, we'll go back. Julie Roberts is sitting on the kitchen island, and it's right after, I think, the school scene with Luke and Jackie, and he says the irrational whatever moment. And Julie Roberts is like, it's not that I can't cook, it's that I choose not to cook. And I'm like, girl, that is so me, except I can't cook.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I choose not to cook because I can't.
Well, you know, also, if just be a little real and like tear down your joke a little bit, it's also that I don't really have an interest in learning how to cook. It's like I have an interest in wanting to have an interest in learning how to cook, but you know, that's like just one too far step removal. I couldn't get words out.
Nick loves to cook. He finds it calming and peaceful, and that's great. And I know a lot of people feel that way. It's very soothing. To me, it's very stressful. Because one, my back issues, I hate chopping. It's just not comfortable. But then I'm always like, okay, well, how long does this need to cook? What if it cooks an extra minute? Is that going to cause problems? Am I going to burn the house down? It's like anxiety to the max. It's not calming for me. Mm-hmm. The other day I tried to cook rice. I boiled it over. I didn't even know that it boiled over because it boiled over on the backside, so I didn't see it happening. And then Nick was like, you need to turn it on low. And I was like, oh, it's been on high this whole time. And he goes, you might want to open it up. And I opened it up and it was black. And I was like, here we go.
Oh, no.
And that's rice. Rice is supposed to be the easiest thing to cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
My thing with cooking is not so much anxiety as it is me being a very staunch anti-fan of standing.
That too. I mean, like I said, my back, I don't like doing it.
I can walk for a really long time, and I also like to sit, but I don't like standing.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I don't like standing almost as much as I don't like clapping.
You don't like clapping?
I don't like clapping, especially when it's obligated. Like, if I feel really moved, then okay. But just, like, when you're sitting through something and there's all these things where everyone expects, like, they leave space for everyone to clap. I'm just like, it doesn't feel great slamming my palms together. I'd much rather waggle my fingers in
the air.
You
know, you could always do, like, one of those dainty claps where you clap into the palm with just a few fingers.
Like this.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I suppose
the
I could
do that. The tea time applause. That's what I call it.
I just feel like that would make me feel a little pretentious.
Well, you know what? What is a little pretension if it doesn't mean pain?
Okay.
That's really funny, though, that you don't like to clap your hands. So when you were little and everybody's saying when you're happy and you know it, did you just, like, frown and... I would say stomp your feet, but
no,
that's also part of the song.
I did it, but, you know, I looked forward to the stomping of the feet. You know, it was like, you have to do one to get to the other. So, you know, it's more about the journey.
That's fair. okay. Clapping your hands.
What were we even talking about?
We were talking about cooking.
Oh. Right.
In that scene where she's talking about the cooking is when the phone keeps ringing and she doesn't know that it's Anna on the other line hanging up every time that Isabel answers the phone. And he's like, they don't hate you. And then she answers the phone and says, you know, what's your problem? And Anna finally speaks up and says, it's you. Oh, it just is so hard. She can't win. She behaved the way that anybody would, which is like,
who's on the other line? Leave me alone, you jerk. Right.
Yeah, and with kids, too, you're also contending with centuries of fairy tales and at least about 100 years of mm-hmm. Disney that yep. depicts a stepmother as being a villain.
And I really don't think she is. She really tries. Like, she doesn't do anything villainous.
No.
Which I like because it kind of rewrites what a stepmom is a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, she tries to get them a puppy as like an olive branch.
Yeah, and she's returned with, you're not my mother.
Or let's name it Isabel, because mm-hmm. I'm also allergic to
It kind of smells like you and looks like you, and I'm allergic to you too. And then Julia Roberts finally is like, okay, no, we're going to get one thing straight. And she's like, you're not my mother. I don't have to listen to you. And of course, Julia Roberts replies with, thank God for that. And then she tries to do her backtracking thing, which does not work.
No.
She's like, I mean, you already have a fantastic mother. You don't need another one. Okay. Okay. No one's buying that. That's not what you meant. But kudos for trying. So let's go to when Ben gets lost.
Okay. I can't remember, Chaney, if you ever got lost.
I don't think I did. I know you did.
I did. Mm-hmm. When I was 5 and you were 3 and we went to Universal Studios in California and there was a place that was Honey, I Shrunk the Kid Land, or maybe it was Fievel World. We were mice and all of the things that were around us were giant versions of mundane small things. And you wanted to play in the ball pit that was in a birdcage. And I didn't find ball pits very interesting. But there was a teapot that you could walk through. And out of the spout was steam. And I was fascinated with that. And I wanted to know if you could see the steam inside of the teapot. And so I wanted to go through there, and I told our mom that I wanted to do it. And she's like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And what I didn't wait for was that she's like, just let me tie Chaney's shoes back on. And so I took off through the teapot and ran through. I was sorely disappointed that all it was solid plastic, opaque plastic. There was nothing interesting in that tunnel. And I came around and ran back to the ball pit, and y'all were gone because y'all had followed me through. But once I got back there, I immediately started to panic and started running to all of these different places looking for y'all, which just made me move further and further away from a point of familiarity.
Uh-huh.
I remember looking for a security guard because that is what she drilled into our heads. If we ever got lost, look for an officer of some sort. But who I found first was Uncle Rob. And, you know, I didn't realize that everyone was looking for me. I just knew I was looking for everybody else. So I didn't really understand his reaction of being like, there you are. Yeah, that's the time that I remember being lost, which felt like an hour, but was probably only 5 minutes.
Scary. That's scary. And so, yeah, I don't blame Susan for reacting the way that she did, especially when the person that you despise the most is the one that lost your child.
She was waiting for her to fail in a big way.
Yes. But then bringing the lawyers in when they promised that they would never do that, that's really hard.
Right. And I think it was great that, what is Julia Roberts' character's name?
Isabel.
Isabel. I'm writing that down. Isabel. Yes. Isabel. Also the dog's name. How she steps in, she's like, please don't punish Luke for this. This was my mistake. Like, please don't do this.
Yep, but she doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah, no, she, like I said, she was waiting for the mistake to be made.
Yep.
Hey, why did you pause it?
Potty break.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Don't go too far. We'll be right back. Enjoying Two Sisters Present America's Sweethearts? Feel free to leave us a review.
Tell us what you love.
And if you must, tell us what you don't love.
I don't love mayonnaise.
I mean about the podcast.
Right.
Contact us through Twitter, Instagram, or email.
Find our handles on our website, www.twosisterspresent.com.
You can also join our Patreon with exclusive content and access for picking your own movie or artist for us to cover.
What? You can pick the next America's Sweetheart?
Sure can.
Find out all the info at www.patreon.com/twosisterspresent.
Thank you and goodbye.
Later.
All right, I'm back. I'm ready. Let's go.
Before we push play, there's one more thing we need to say.
Ooh, enlighten me.
We need to give a shout out to two very special people who have helped make this podcast possible.
Ooh, I know. Mm-hmm. Do-do-do-do.
Drum roll, if you please. Brrr. Our logo designer, Angela Panina, and the music from Colin Moore.
Oh, Angela is also an amazing baker, by the way, if you didn't know that, Bailey. Mm-mm. She has made me some gluten-free churro cupcakes to die for. Mm. And if anybody wants to discover just how heavenly these churro cupcakes are, nice. You can find Angela at Angelic Confections on Facebook or at Angelic Confections HTX on Instagram. So that's Angelic Confections Houston, Texas, but HTX.
Churro cupcakes sound amazing.
Oh, Bailey, you don't even know. I could live in that icing. It's so good.
You can also find more of Cullen's music on Spotify. He recently released his first plaid tuxedo album, Soaring Through the Wind.
I listen to it almost daily. Hashtag no regrets.
Anyway, you guys are awesome. Ready?
Oh, super ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, can we talk about the next scene where Julia Roberts has those cute piggy tails?
Yes, please.
Not everybody can get away with every length of hair. Apparently, Julia Roberts can, and I kind of envy her that.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely looked super cute.
Yeah, it's when she's working and she gets a phone call that the kids haven't gotten picked up, and it's Jackie's day to go pick them up. And she's like, that doesn't make sense. Jackie's always on time. And they're like, well, she's not. Mm-hmm. So she goes to the school to pick up the kids, and of course, Jackie then shows up, does not say a word, says hi to the kids, and then ignores Isabel and leaves.
Yeah, that was so rude.
And it's right after Isabel tells the kids, this is the one lie that worked, and then it's discredited. Julia says, oh, it was actually my day. I forgot you. Your mom is perfect. Mm-hmm. I am the one that messed up. She was really trying to actually help Jackie in that moment, and Jackie could care less. I mean, she didn't hear the lie, but
yeah, couldn't even care that Isabel showed up.
Nope. And the anger that Jackie has was really hard for me to grasp. I mean, I understood it and I could empathize, but it at times just seemed so cruel. That was really hard for me to swallow, especially when Isabel really was just trying. She was not being an evil person or an evil stepmother. She was just trying. The next scene, after Jackie realizes that Isabel can be kind of relied on, Jackie comes to Isabel's studio and is like, hey, I have another appointment that I can't miss. Can you please pick up the kids? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure, that's fine. I don't mind. I'll make it work. But I have a request. Can I take Anna to the Pearl Jam concert? And Susan Sarandon makes a big old fuss about, oh, it's on a school night. How could you not think about that? She's too young. First off, what was your first concert and how old were you?
Let's see. My first concert, it was in high school. I guess it was the Dixie Chicks. It's probably the Dixie Chicks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you earlier on in high school or later?
That was a sophomore year of high school. So I was 15 or 16.
Okay. Yeah. My first one was with JoJo. And we went to Aerosmith. And I thought I was the coolest kid in town.
How old were you?
Seeing this big old rock concert. I was in high school, but I think I was a freshman. Maybe 12 or 13, which I think Anna is 12. So about the same age. I mean, obviously, I didn't think I was too young to go to a concert. We did have a parent with us, which, I mean, she would have too. She would have had Isabel.
Right.
But yeah, I thought I was the coolest thing. So I could only imagine if Isabel got to give her those tickets, how many points that would have given Isabel.
Right. Yeah, it would have changed the relationship a bit.
Yeah. Well, but who knows? You know, she brought a dog home and Anna resented her for it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? The whole reason why she had the appointment was not because she was working at the
what was it, Random Publishers?
Random House.
Random House Publishing. Mm-hmm. It's because she actually had cancer.
Yeah.
And when she goes to take Luke to the restaurant to tell him, which, fun little fact, the restaurant that I think it's this time, and then the restaurant where Isabel and Jackie go to talk, that restaurant is called the 76 House, and it is a National Historical Site in New York, and it's where a British officer who assassinated turncoat Benedict Arnold was held while he was awaiting the trial by George Washington.
Oh.
So I find that really interesting because both of those conversations that they have, it's like someone's being on trial a little bit.
Yes.
Or waiting on trial.
Very
interesting. The anxiety is super high. They're waiting for facts to be given out and waiting for a sentencing. So anyway, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I just found that a little interesting fact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's just, it's so heartbreaking that she can't tell him because he jumps the gun and says that he is going to propose to Isabel first before she can say, I have cancer. And when he says that they're going to be parents for the next 100 years, her reaction to that, gutted.
Oh, yes. What happens after that moment is so incredibly loaded, and he has no idea. But I was thinking, like, what a brilliant piece of acting for Susan Sarandon right then, mm-hmm. because she's got to have so many different thoughts going through her head in that moment and does not say any of those out loud. It's like,
yeah.
Like there's so many things and feelings that she's dealing with. Instead of like all of the other things going on, she says, what makes you think that this is going to work out when ours didn't?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, he doesn't really answer that, does he?
I mean, I can't really remember what he says because I was so focused on her.
It's truly a beautiful, brilliant acting moment for her.
Yes, yeah, Susan Sarandon is amazing. I'm getting choked up just thinking about that.
Yeah. I mean, this whole movie is a crash course in how to make people cry. And like the next scene is when Luke and Jackie tell the kids that he's going to be proposing to Isabel, and those kids, what is her name? Jenna Malone, mm-hmm. who plays Anna. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just so beautiful. Her reaction to that news, and even Ben, who's just the sweet little angel, when at the very end of that scene, Ed Harris grabs his hand and he just falls over with his head on to Luke's hand. And he's just like a little puppy dog. Yes. It's just so sweet.
It's so sweet. There's so many like sweet character interactions throughout this movie that make it really poignant.
They feel like a family. They really feel like a family. Let's move on to the next scene, which is the moment that makes me question everything about Jackie's character.
Okay, so we're finally here. We're here at this moment. Because she was not shining in this moment.
What I'm going to equate this to is interesting because of the name of the movie. But anyway, so Isabel is bringing the kids home. And she let Anna put on some lipstick. And
it was very cute.
It's very cute. And then Jackie's response to that is, oh, well, you don't see this color during the day except for on a working girl. That alone, I was like, whoa, slow your roll, lady. That's not really very nice. But moving on. Then.
This is not very nice for a lot of reasons.
And then she continues to pull out 2 Pearl Jam tickets. Anna is very excited. My mom's the best. Isn't my mom the best?
Mm-hmm.
Isabel is just gobsmacked. She just can't.
That's a great word for this very moment.
Yeah.
I think we're all pretty gobsmacked.
And the look that Jackie gives her, like, I've one-upped you. This is my house. This is my family. But all I could think of was, wow, what an evil stepmom. But she's the mom.
Yeah.
Why is she?
Yes.
It was like a mind trick.
Yes. Yes, because that is what the evil stepmom does in Cinderella.
Yes.
She even looks at her and smiles and says, thank you. That was a really great idea. Which is just like the that kind of duplicitousness where, like, you know, it's really mean-spirited, but it's said with a smile is just really unnerving.
Yeah. And so I thought that was really interesting that my mind went to evil stepmom when that's not the case at all. But, whoa, what a moment. It's just so cruel. And the kids have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
The venom that she has is just, it's poisonous, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess venom is.
Yeah, the venom she has is just, you know, it's benign.
Okay. The writing in this movie is just so good.
It is. I did not look up who the screenwriter was. Did you?
No. Which, I mean, it would have been my job since I was the the researcher. But it didn't fall under my five facts. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess you covered them, so.
I still have a couple more.
Oh. Your bag's not empty.
It's not empty.
Huzzah. We've passed the part where Julia Roberts finds out. She finds out first.
Yeah, she finds out first.
Isabel finds out first. So I wanted to say, when she's in the car and she's driving to pick up Ben from that birthday party where there's cultural appropriation going on. So then she picks up Ben and comes back, and Ben has a, yeah. And she confronts Jackie with what she thinks has happened. And Jackie lets her run with it for a minute because she's just still there. And then she gives up and tells her the truth, which it's interesting that she tells the person she likes the least the truth because it's the easiest. And so then she lights up a joint. So I kind of told you this on the phone that I wasn't sure if I'd seen this movie because
mm-hmm.
I saw the cover. It looked familiar, but I didn't really remember anything about it. But as I was watching it, I was like, this seems so familiar to me. This seems so familiar. And I was thinking about how, you know, this came out when I was probably about in eighth grade. And at that point, I saw every movie in the theater that was not R-rated. And I was like, there's no way I missed this movie, especially if Julia Roberts was in it. She was a huge draw at that point. And up until that point, I kept questioning, like, did I see this movie? It just seems so familiar to me. But then when she lights up the joint, I was like, I have definitely seen this movie, because I think this was the first time I was ever introduced to the idea of medical weed.
Mm, interesting. By the way, if you hear the dog barking, we just got a new dog mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, so she's still acclimating to things. If you hear her whining in the background, she's in another room and wants to not be in another room. So I apologize if you hear her whining. But you mentioned that he went to a party that was cultural appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move into the next scene, which is
the Thanksgiving Day pageant.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is just immediately dates it and puts it in this whole other category of, do I want to recommend this movie?
It goes to show how much things have changed in 20 years.
Yes. 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 And I think that, you know, for a lot of people, that traditional Thanksgiving story has been kind of pushed aside because it is insulting to Indigenous people.
Absolutely. The only saving grace of that little play that they put on, though, was him as the turkey. And...
Oh, well, you know, like, my first thought when I saw him, I was like, I'm surprised they didn't make him a ham, because that's what he is. But then.
Yeah, they shoot him, and Isabel goes, did they? And Jackie goes, oh, yeah, they killed him, but he does it so great.
Like, they lift guns and point them at a child dressed as a turkey that's flying in the air. And then he dies.
His head just sags. And then they lower him onto the plate.
But, you know, everybody goes to that Thanksgiving meal. Even the Clintons.
I forgot about the Clintons.
Yes, we have the Clintons at the Thanksgiving party. Oh my gosh, what a train wreck.
So I kind of stopped taking notes after this point because it just gets so emotional after that that I was too invested to write notes. But if you have anything else that you want to mention about the rest of this movie, I'll gladly chime in.
Yes, I do. Let me look at my notes. Okay. When Isabel is at her final photo shoot before she gets fired, you know, they have like this giant scene going on, this Victorian scene with horses and carriages and lots of different people.
It's Charles Dickens.
Is that how normal photo shoots work? Do they hire lots of actors to like put on whole scenes?
I don't know. I mean, because he said it was his biggest account. So who knows?
Okay. But then, like, you know, he fires her and explains that she's been slipping and whatever. And she says, "I'm sorry you feel that way," which I feel is the one of the few times when that is absolutely appropriate to say.
I agree.
Most of the time when you say, "I'm sorry you feel that way," you're not taking responsibility for your actions and how they've affected others. But in this case, it really is. This guy is just not taking time to think about what her experience is.
Right. And, I mean, he says that she is the best that he's ever worked with and, like, gives her all of these compliments and says that she's slipping, but then doesn't have anything to back that up. I mean, she's still coming through with everything that she does. It just may not be at his timeline or at his comfortability level, which, I mean, is fair. If you want to hire someone and you want that security, that's your prerogative. But to say that she's slipping is not entirely fair when she's still showing up and doing the work. It's just not at the degree that he wants. But that's never really addressed again. We don't know whether she was actually fired, if he called back and was like, "Okay, let's try this again," or if that was it. Is she jobless now? Is she what happened?
Yeah, they kind of left that hanging, but I don't feel like she would want for work for long.
Probably not.
It seems that she was probably a highly desirable photographer.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can cut this out, but I just want to say I do not know what snowblowing is.
Okay, I wasn't going to bring it up unless you did. That was actually my last note, but I was not going to bring it up unless you did. So I think that it's okay that we're addressing it, but like Julia Roberts or Isabel in this movie, we can say it is something that you would see in an adult movie that I would never take a child or my parents to.
So you actually looked it up?
I looked it up. I did not. I didn't watch anything, but I looked up what the definition was, and it is, it's not PG-13. It's not even R. So
when it comes to things like this, I know better than to look things up.
Well, that's why I didn't Google image.
Oh my gosh, I've got a great story about Google imaging.
Okay, go for it.
So when I was in college, that was 2003 to 2007, the internet was still like fairly new. Like we had Google at that point, but it was still pretty new. And because of that, when you Google image searched, you never knew what was going to show up. You could type in the most innocent thing and you would still get porn. I remember my roommate was doing an art project that I think was supposed to be about a nursery rhyme or something like that. And she decided to do Pop Goes the Weasel. And she Google searched Pop Goes the Weasel. And it was so awful. I'm going to tell you what it is and then just bleep it out. Okay. And people will still guess what it was.
Okay, okay, fair. So,
and we'll have your reaction.
Okay.
It was a man's in a vice. Stretched out and pulled down. Pop Goes the Weasel.
Sorry, my reaction is silence because I can't deal with that. I can't. No.
Why?
Why?
Which is probably the notes that he was hitting too.
Well, it even like oh my gosh. So even like a few years after that, if you Google image searched Pop Goes the Weasel, that is still what showed up. But I did it again a couple years ago because I was telling someone that story, and thank goodness it was all drawings of weasels and stuff.
Speaking of porn, Bailey and I, we needed to come up with a new title of the podcast because America's Sweethearts was already taken. So since we're sisters, we came up with Two Sisters Present, and that way we can potentially do more podcasts as Two Sisters Present whatever. So this one is Two Sisters Present America's Sweethearts. But as I was filling out the domain, which is twosisterspresent.com, I was like, you know what? I think a lot of people are going to think this is porn. But, oh well, if that means that more people find our site and look at it, then I guess that's a good thing. But for those that go to the site thinking that it's going to be porn, I am sorry, you are going to be sorely disappointed.
Oh yeah.
Anywho, if you really want to know what snow blowing is, you can look it up yourself.
Oh! So you're not even going to tell me.
Oh, I'll tell you later. I'm not going to waste time editing that out. I'll tell you later. But I think it's totally appropriate that they did not say what that was, because it would have changed the entire tone of the movie if it was explained. So I understand why they had it in, but I'm glad that they left it like they did. That's all I have to say. Look it up yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So Jackie goes away for a treatment, and when they pick her up from the airport, which that stands out because you can no longer walk right up to a gate to greet people when they come out of off the airplane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is a shame because, I mean, I know the first time that I had to walk all the way through security again to meet people that were waiting for me, it's a long, lonely walk. And it's really nice to be greeted right after you get off the plane.
It takes away all the romance of finding someone and waiting for them, or, you know, trying to get them before they go on the plane. All the things that we see in the movies that is just
gone.
Yeah. Which, I mean, safety first. But it's sad.
Yeah. They take her home and they filled her room with cutouts of the two children, which is just so beautiful. Yeah. And you know what that made me think of? How much our parents really love giant cutouts.
They did.
They have both done giant cutouts of each other. One for our mother's, I think it was 40th birthday.
It was her 40th birthday, and she was coming home from, I don't know, LA or some, she was out of town, had to catch a flight, and her flight was missed.
It was delayed. It was delayed. Seriously delayed. So
we had a surprise party, like all of her friends, all family members, and we just so happened to have a giant cutout of her.
Oh, I think he went and got it made.
Oh, he went and got it made.
Yes, for this thing. Yeah,
because her flight was delayed and she couldn't be there, he made this giant photo stand up of my mom so that we could all take pictures with her, cut the cake.
And we all had a party without her.
Yeah.
It was all videotaped so that she could watch it when she got home. And then there are two cutouts of our dad. I'm not sure what both of them were used for. One of them is a full cutout, and it's a little bit smaller than life-sized. But it is still large enough to be mistaken as a real person. And then there's one is just a shoulder up and he's in a suit. One that's life-sized. Well, both of them have scared me. One of them was like in the back of the car and was just chilling out in the back of our mom's car for a while. And so I kept thinking that there was someone, you know, in the rearview mirror. It was really freaky. And then the other one they had in their house for a while. So if you got up in the middle of the night to go get something, walked around a corner and there's just someone standing in the dark.
The last time I went to their house, it's still there. It's behind their couch. So anytime you walk into the living room, there's a man standing there.
Yeah. Okay. So I was kind of like you, where I was getting kind of carried away with the movie and its final moments, because it really is just very moving. It's hard mm-hmm. to take a step out and write some notes down. So I don't really have a lot. It was more just jotting things down so I could keep track of what was happening. But the conversation that Jackie and Isabel have in that same restaurant was a really beautiful moment where I don't know if everybody gets to have those moments with someone that they've been struggling to get along with, but both of them say exactly what they need to say in this very emotionally mature way that is just, it's beautiful and poignant. I wish that all conversations kind of worked that way.
It's a really beautiful moment for both of them. And the fact that both of their wishes are the complete opposite of the other is you're completely torn. You can't, because you want both of them to be happy and you know that neither of mm-hmm. them really can be. I mean, Susan Sarandon follows it up with, but there's room for both of us. We have to let go of this battle between us, because just because she loves one does not mean that she can't love the other. It's just, it makes me go, I'm going to cry right now.
Well, and what a hard conversation to have, because yeah. you're having to talk about the future where you don't exist in it.
It's so much. After this movie was over, because I was watching it in the living room and Nick had just gotten home. So he went into the bedroom and was watching TV. I turned it off and I walked in and I was like, I just need you to hold me for a few minutes because it is just too much.
I just have a few other things that I've written down. One is their final Christmas morning, and Ben is under the tree picking up all the presents and listening for bombs because he's not shaking them. He just lifts them and puts them to his ear. I mean, I guess what he's looking for is the dove.
Yes.
And you wouldn't have to shake it to hear it.
But, well, and you don't want to shake it if it's an animal.
Yeah, but, like, that was not my immediate thought. I was like, he's doing it wrong. You're supposed to shake it so you can get a sense of what's inside.
He's listening for bombs. Yeah, her last present-giving moments with her kids was just beautiful. And it goes back to the moment where she's telling Isabel about her giving birth to both of them and how he always was a magician. The fact that she gave him a cape, it's just, this movie, it just is.
Yeah.
I want to say it's the worst, but that's not true. It's just the worst for my emotions.
I think we need to look up the screenwriter, but obviously whoever it was either like went through one of those experiences and has a very huge ability for empathy
mm-hmm.
to be able to write such beautiful characters and to have all of these really beautiful moments.
Well, funnily enough, this movie, like Sleeping with the Enemy, got a lot of mixed reviews. It was not a rave hit, but it did pull in a lot of money. I mean, you have three huge names. You have Susan Sarandon, Julie Roberts, and Ed Harris.
I sort of got it for Sleeping with the Enemy. I don't get it for this one.
No. The acting alone, like, even if the script was poo, the acting alone is just so incredibly done.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one last little fact. If you love this movie, if you think that everyone was cast perfectly, I want you to just take a second and think of who would completely change how this movie would have been perceived.
Susan Sarandon?
No. Our leading lady of our month and a half.
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts was supposed to be played by someone else.
I thought you said that they were looking for a project to do together.
They were. They produced it. But that doesn't mean that originally the writers did not have someone else in mind.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, so when we covered Pretty Woman, you said that a gaggle of actresses were considered to play Vivian.
Okay.
One of those actresses that was considered to play Vivian Ward was also, this role of Isabel was written for this actress in mind.
All right, let me guess. It was one of those people.
One of those people.
Okay.
And it would not be the ones at the top of your list, I guarantee you.
Okay. Michelle Pfeiffer.
No.
Oh.
She'd be at the top of the list. I said she wasn't going to be at the top of the list.
Well, I don't really imagine her in that role of stepmom.
But she is a dramatic actress.
Okay, fine. Fine. Meg Ryan.
No. But close.
I don't know.
Molly Ringwald.
What? My brain hurts.
Okay, no, a lot of these facts I found on IMDb, so who knows if they're actually accurate, because like I said, it was really hard to find information on this particular movie. A lot of sites, it just jumped from what she did in 1997 to Runaway Bride and something else she did in 99. Mm-hmm. But it kind of skipped over Stepmom, so I had to go with what I found. And mm-hmm. what I found was the role of Isabel was written with Molly Ringwald in mind.
Interesting.
Yes.
You know, I just really, I guess I haven't seen Molly Ringwald in a lot of things other than the Rat Pack movies. Brat Pack movies.
Brat Pack?
Brat Pack movies, not uh-huh. Rat Pack. That is a...
that's a different thing.
That's a collection of swooner singers.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard for me to imagine her in this role.
Yes. I mean, I've seen her in things outside of the Brat Pack movies. And recently she was in a movie on Netflix, The Kissing Booth. She plays a mom of one of the teenagers. And she's not a bad actress by any stretch of the imagination. She's wonderful. She's in 16 Candles, which is one of my favorite movies. But
yeah.
Anyway, I just found that really interesting.
Very, very different actors.
That's all the facts.
Well, great. I think you covered them.
Good.
I think you got the five.
Good.
So high five.
High facts five.
Boop.
Boop.
Well, then I guess for now we're going to be saying goodbye to Julia Roberts.
It has been a ride.
Thank you, Haley.
Yes, thank you, Haley, for the recommendation. Our next actress is going to be Viola Davis, and I'm very, very excited about that.
Me too.
I'm not familiar with a whole bunch of her work. I have been watching How to Get Away with Murder, which she's amazing in. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we may talk a little bit about that throughout the next 5 weeks. But I'm really excited to dive into her movie catalogs.
Me too. Yeah, oh, I forgot to mention that I watched the first season of Homecoming.
Oh, yeah. With Julia Roberts. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really good. I would definitely recommend checking it out.
Awesome. I have not watched it yet. But... I'm very excited to move on to Viola Davis, and I'm very sad to say goodbye to Julia Roberts, but we must move on and move forward.
I think we should just say, see you soon.
See you soon. And you know what? I think we can say that to our listeners, too.
And that's the size
of it. No, we're not doing that, Bailey. No, I refuse. Until next time, this has been Two Sisters Present America's Sweethearts. Bye.
Goodbye.